Hi and welcome to Your Dream Gym. We are going to be speaking with Mark Braithwaite, CEO at Sandwell Leisure Trust. My name is Guy Griffiths, and when I'm not helping clubs with their member retention or chatting to people about health seekers, I like to ask people about their dream gym. Because by talking about their fitness and exercise background and their favourite workouts, it helps you to know them better, which helps with networking and making connections. Because your dream gym is part of the collective, a network of fitness industry professionals whose purpose is to help the industry to share, collaborate, and grow. As well as your dream gym, you can listen to The Business of PT with Adam Daniel and Health Seeker Stories. And we've got more podcasts coming up on the collective very soon. I'll pop back after this week's guest with some collective news and details of who's coming up next week. In a moment, you'll hear a quick word from our supporting partner this month, and then you'll be able to get straight into the dream gym of Mark Braithwaite. This episode of Your Dream Gym is supported by Les Mills, the global leader in group fitness and creator of over 25 programs available in leading fitness facilities around the world. Les Mills programs include the world's first group exercise resistance training workout, Body Pump, Body Combat, martial arts, RPM, indoor cycling, my personal favorite, Body Balance, yoga, Les Mills Grit, 30-minute high-intensity interval training, and its latest fitness innovation, Les Mills Functional Strength. The company was founded by Les Mills, a four-time Olympian and head coach of New Zealand's track and field team, who opened his dream gym in 1968 with the aim of taking elite sports training to the masses. Today, Les Mills workouts are delivered by 130,000 certified instructors in 21,000 clubs across 100 countries, as well as via the Les Mills Plus streaming platform and extended reality. Find out more at lesmills.com. Today on Your Dream Gym, I'm really pleased to be joined by Mark Braithwaite, CEO at Sandwell Leisure Trust. Mark started out in the fitness industry as a regional sales and marketing manager at Cannons Health Club, where actually I was a member at London Bridge, probably around the same time in my previous life. Yeah. He then worked at Nuffield Health for 5 years as senior general manager and fitness director, Fusion Lifestyle as divisional and regional business manager, before joining One Life as regional director and then MD from 2018 to 2023, which was an interesting time to be at the helm, but he navigated it very well. He joined Sandwell in January 2023, managing 8 sites in West Birmingham. Welcome to Your Dream Gym, Mark.
Thank you, Guy. Thanks for having me.
No, it's great to have you here. There's some pretty big developments going on across Sandwell Metropolitan Borough Council at the moment, I think. Billions of pounds I've seen on LinkedIn of investment, hosting the British Diving Championships. Yeah. And yeah, so lots of events coming up. What are you excited about in 2024?
I think the council has, I think, invested a fair amount in its leisure facilities over the last, probably the last 10 years. So they had 2-3 big developments about 8-9 years ago. More recently, they've just had the opening, or we've had the opening of the Sandwell Aquatic Centre. So that was a legacy site off the back of the Commonwealth Games, which obviously were hosted in Birmingham. It was the only new site that was built as part of the Games. And that was not necessarily all invested by the council. That was a £90 million build. Huge amounts of investment there. And then probably what we've got coming up as well is the council was also successful in the Levelling Up Fund. So round two. So we've got a new centre that's being rebuilt. And that will probably mean all of their leisure facilities across the whole council are going to be effectively about 10 years or less old, which with 8 facilities, not a lot of councils can say that. That's just all been approved. And it's looking, works will be starting there probably within the next kind of few weeks. With a view that site will open in October 26th. Yeah, lots of things planned. And then I guess in addition to that, the actual trust itself is probably looking to do a fair amount of work around some of our digital systems. We've got redevelopments of some of the other sites as well. And we've got a big gym redevelopment for our Portway site, which is probably going to be happening, if not later in the year, probably early part of next year. So yeah, lots and lots going on.
Excellent. Yeah. So yeah, exciting times at Sandwell. And again, it was exciting times at the helm of One Life. But yeah, lots of new stuff going on, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And loads of opportunities here. I think in all different areas for us to make the business more efficient, to improve on some of our digital systems. I know we've had a conversation about a few things. Lots of opportunity around our retention, which isn't actually great. But again, it's all just opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully move the numbers in the right direction.
Cool. Very good. And I'm sure, like I said, with you at the helm, I'm sure you will. So, but let's get a little bit into Mark's kind of into your background and what. Before we get onto your dream gym, we'd just like to talk a little bit more about exercise and activity and what it means to you.
Look, for those who don't know, I grew up in South Africa. I had the benefit of running, swimming, playing sport every day of the week. I had the benefit of good weather. So I played probably every sport under the sun. I did athletics, rugby, hockey, cricket. My mother was a swim coach.
Okay.
So I think it was just part of my lifestyle. We were on holiday. We were constantly throwing a ball around, being outside. And I don't think there's a time in my life where I've not ever been physically active. So I think then coming across the UK, which the weather, I know you've obviously got the same kinds of sports, but it's not as easy to get up and do some of those things in the middle of winter. I think I was using the gym before I came over and probably been doing that since I was about, I just found my way back into the gym. And I've done different sports. In the UK, I've done some marathons, I've done a few Spartan races, I played hockey, I played some rugby, played a bit of cricket. So try to maintain a level of sport while I've been here, but probably always just gravitated to the gym, which I think for me is just really important to do from my own mental health and personal well-being.
Okay. And did the gym back in South Africa, was that part of being fit for sport or how do those fit together?
Yeah, I used to play rugby until I got to about 15, and then I just didn't grow quite as quickly as some of the guys I was playing against. I probably stopped playing in the last few years of high school, got to university, had probably grown a little bit in length, and then decided I wanted to start playing again. And I think one of the things I realized I needed to do was probably put a bit of weight on. I started doing the gym a lot more seriously, which I think definitely helped. And then I think as you start to do that, you recognize other benefits. So yeah, I think I just naturally continued going to the gym to maintain that level of fitness for the different sports I was playing. And then I think, have just always enjoyed the feeling of being fitter, healthier, stronger, and try to just to maintain that.
Yeah, cool. Okay. And then, so that sporty, it was a natural thing. And it is, I think, for a lot of South Africans, it is easy to be outside almost all year round, more so than here. But coming over here, you're taking on different kind of challenges and the marathon, Spartan races, but is the gym then taking over more in terms of your, not raison d'etre, although it clearly is with your career. You talk about the mental health benefits as well and just enjoying being in the gym.
Yeah, look, and I think I was always an all-rounder with the different sports I did. I think I've also used different activities and the gym to train for different things. So I've never just done one particular event. I've never just been a runner or never just done the gym. I think I've ebbed and flowed. And as I was then obviously training for a marathon, I would clearly be running a bit more, but still be using the gym. I think doing things like the Tough Mudders or Spartan runs, that was quite nice because it incorporated both. So knowing you were going to be doing a Spartan run, clearly HIIT type training, certain exercises, and that would help you in those types of events. So I think almost using the gym for different types of events, I think we were talking a little bit early, but I've got a skiing holiday coming up. So again, being a bit more mindful about what kind of exercise I'm using in the gym to make sure that I'm in the best condition to do that. So focusing more on legs, my core, those types of things. So I think that's why I've adjusted training, going to the gym at certain times around whatever other events have been going on.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. So you've got not a goal necessarily, but it's more of a life goal in that, there's a ski holiday coming up. It's probably cost a few quid.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that you're going to get the most of it and not get injured on day one, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah, perfect. So how often are you at the gym at the moment? So now we've fast forwarded to present day rather than back in the, you know, playing sports days. Although are you still playing a sport, or how often are you going to the gym? Yeah, what are your favorite workouts and what does your weekly routine look like?
So right now at the moment from January, because I had picked up a bit of injury, unfortunately, pre-Christmas. So I was kind of action for 4 weeks, which is probably quite unusual for me. Normally, I'm going to the gym or doing things at home, whether it's exercise, bike or HIIT workouts, 3-4 times a week. I'll also occasionally do things like a park run, something like that, just to mix it up. But right now, from beginning of Jan, I've set myself 5 workouts a week. Mm-hmm. And I'd probably say about 3 of those are probably typically in the gym, probably doing at least one at the house, like a HIIT studio or kind of a Les Mills grip type class, or jumping on the bike. I'd probably say in the gym at the moment, 2-3 times a week at least.
Nice. And the million-dollar question, are they Sandwell gyms or is it a local gym, or you don't have to say the brand?
No. I mean, look, I don't know if this is the right way if I can use this word. I think I'm a bit of a gym slut. I'll work out anywhere and everywhere I can.
So yeah, nice.
I like using lots of different sites. I probably use a mixture of about 3 Sandwell sites. Every now and then I'll pop into, when I used to work at One Life, there was Wifton Leisure Centre, which is very dear to my heart, having been there and redeveloped that site from scratch. So I'll use that site. And then if I'm in or around the country, whether that's traveling or whatever, I'll try and get a gym pass or something to go and visit a site. Mm-hmm. Recently, I used a Snap Fitness. I popped into BXR about 2 weeks ago. So yeah, I generally will use any kind of gym that I can, depending on where I am. So I'm not particularly loyal to one. I'm hoping to sneak into a David Lloyd within the next kind of week or two. So yeah, look, I love going to the gym, so I'm not necessarily precious about having to use the same one all the time.
Yeah, but also you're semi-mystery, you're not mystery shopping them for them, you're mystery shopping them for your own benefit and learning and seeing what's going and what's not going so well. And it's part of the job. If you were just working out in one place every time, it's almost, you'd be missing out, I think.
Yeah, look, I think it's one thing I've always tried to do. And like you said, it's probably a good point. I think from a customer point of view, I think I can walk around with some of my management team and you get a bit of a museum tour. I don't think there's anything that gives you as much exposure as like a customer would get them if you're actually using it, getting into that shower, seeing the grime on the tiles or whatever, seeing the broken towel hook, all those things which niggle for a customer, but you might not necessarily look around when you're just wandering around with that facility manager. Yeah, I think there's huge benefit to doing it. And yeah, you just see things through a customer's eyes.
Yeah. Cool. So yeah, so 3 or 4 times a week in a gym of some sort, off doing a park run maybe at the weekend. Is that with the family, with the kid? I know you've got a range of kids, a very young one and some older ones.
Yeah, no, look, I think I've tried to rope them into park runs or those kinds of things before. Normally it's a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, so nobody's necessarily wanting to join me. My kids are a lot more inclined to do things like badminton, table tennis, go swimming.
Okay.
Those types of things. Yeah, my son's just started getting into a gym, so we've got him some kit. But look, I think one of the reasons as well for me in terms of why I've continued to exercise over the years and use the gym, I think it was always important to me to be able to do things with my kids. I never wanted to be, and not meaning to offend anyone, but I didn't want to be a 55-year-old man who wasn't able to go and run 5Ks with the kids if they wanted to do that. I went to the gym with my son the other day for the first time and actually really enjoyed it. And I think did it with him in a space where I felt fit enough, strong enough to be able to actually have a good session with him. I think those things have always been important to me as I've gotten older. And I think you mentioned my range of children. I've got an 8-month-old daughter now who clearly is much different in age compared to the other two that are about 10, 18 and 16. I want to be able to do things with her when she's 18 and when I'm in my mid-60s by then. Yep. So yeah, I don't want to feel like I can't fly to stairs or go for a run or things like that. So it's been really important to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also I take my slightly underage son to the gym sometimes. I won't say where because I'll get in trouble, but he loves it. He absolutely loves it. Running on a skill mill and all the fun stuff and maybe doing a few weights, but nothing serious. But
yeah,
it's great bonding, right? It's just it's nice time spent together.
And I think that's a good example for your kids as well. I think it's one thing saying to your kid, they need to get up and move if you're not doing that. Whereas at least I can say, I've exercised this week, what are you doing? Because I think it's easy for kids just to park off on their phones nowadays, unfortunately. So yeah, I think also just trying to set a good example.
Yeah, absolutely. And a game of badminton or something like that can be really good fun. Doesn't have to be super competitive, but yeah, really good. And classes, you mentioned you're maybe doing an online Les Mills or something like that.
Yeah, if I'm going to the gym, I'm not brilliant at Zumba or dance or those kind of things. I've got two left feet, so I don't typically find myself in too many of those kinds of classes. So yeah, I'll occasionally jump into a spinner or cycle class, maybe a grip class or hit type class if I'm at the gym. But yeah, in terms of myself, I typically will do Tabata type training, hit training, terrible at stretching, which I know I should do. Or like I said, I've got a bike at the house. So again, we'll do a trip class. I'm not trying to plug Les Mills, by the way. That's just typically how I tend to train.
It's fine. But get plugged. They get plugged every episode anyway. It's fine. Let's get a little bit into your dream gym then, Mark. You've got, it must feel sometimes like you've got an unlimited budget at Sandwell, but I'm sure that's not true. But with this dream gym... With this dream gym, there's no budget. Anything is possible. But what does your dream gym feel like or look like? Or yeah, what's the plan?
Look, I think for me, it probably all sounds a bit cliche. Look, I think you need to have good people. So I think a warm welcome. I think, especially when you haven't been to a gym before, even if you have, I think feeling like the team wants you there. I think that initial, the 5 seconds when you walk in through the door, like the look, the feel, the colors, the smell, I think is super important. Ideally, my dream gym, towels and all those kind of things need to be provided. I think the things that I really like about the BXRs, the Barry's, the third spaces is some of the little things that your typical other sites don't do. So the towels that you get on reception, condiments is probably not the right word, like the body sprays, the body lotions, the things in the showers, the change rooms, the ease of lockers, not having to worry about padlocks or pound coins, all those types of things, which just mean when you walk in, you don't have to fiddle around with lots of things to have a workout. Yes. So I think that for me is great. And look, we operate a number of leisure facilities, so we don't typically get those things. I do feel like when I go to something, I'm saying, describing my dream gym, those are the things that I really appreciate and really notice. So yeah, I think
that's... Yeah, so it's that whole arrival process, that whole pre-workout. I'm not talking about a powdered drink. I'm talking about the experience from the front door to walking into the gym or the studio, whatever it is. You're not going to go, oh crap, it's a pound coin, not a padlock, or I've got to go back to reception. And the receptionist did recognize you and said hello. And you've got there's a nice fluffy towel. And also post-workout, I'm jumping forward, but I would call them condiments as well. So I know what you mean, but there's a nice, there is a really nice shower gel in the shower. And there's nothing to worry about there.
And I think I've referenced our sites, but one of the things which, and we'll change this in time, but one of the things I picked up when I came and used one of our sites for the first time is the lockers still work on a 20p payment type method. You don't put the 20p in, but you don't get it back. Yeah, as a user, that for me is one of the worst things you could do, because I'm just about to unpack my stuff into the locker. I then don't have 20p. I've got to go back to reception, hope I can get change or something. So those kinds of things. So I think we become so used to having Apple phones are easy to use. Whatever you're using nowadays, generally, it's typically quite easy for you to use. So I think going into a leisure facility needs to be the same or as easy. There shouldn't be barriers as a customer. So dream gym, I think, takes into account all those things.
Okay, cool. Very good. So that's the welcome process. And then what does the actual facility look like inside? What have you got? What do you need at your dream club?
So I think if you're thinking about that customer journey, so going into change rooms, we talked about, so like lockers, not having to faff around with padlocks and all of that. Showers will have all of the nice soaps, the malts and browns. Ideally, within the change rooms, you'd have dedicated sauna steam in the kind of men's change rooms. Ideally, you'd maybe have an ice room or something like that.
Yep.
And then they've got a dry cleaning service. Great. I suppose if you were working in the city and need to get shirts dry cleaned or whatever else it might be. And then I think going into the actual gym itself, I quite like different areas within a gym. I'm not massively crazy about big warehouse type gyms, so I like different spaces within fitness areas, which all have their own kind of look or feel. Call it a dedicated HIIT studio, which has got different lighting, different bits of equipment, which is kind of almost separate to the main gym.
Yeah.
If you were going to have specialist equipment, whether it's TRX or eGym or whatever that might be, again, mm-hmm. a particular area. So that, yeah, so it feels like you can move from one to the other.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So different zones, but yeah. Different zones.
Different zones, different feels, different bits of lighting and that. I think music's really important. I think in terms of the atmosphere that creates, I think quite often you go into gyms and there's like radio stations playing or the music's too soft or it's too loud. I think the type of music that's playing as well, I think can create a really good atmosphere. So yeah, I think that's really important. And then, yeah, probably having a, call it a USP to your facility. So a unique bit of equipment that maybe not everywhere has. So something that kind of stands out, because I think, and I know I probably offend a lot of the fitness providers. For me, 95% of the time, a treadmill's a treadmill, a cross trainer's a cross trainer. It's not really going to matter too much which one you're running on.
No.
So something that feels like it's a bit different, I think also, yeah, stands out.
Yeah, okay. Is there anything that you've particularly used or that you've seen at any of the clubs you visited that is that brings that USP?
Look, I think we've just installed a couple of blades as an example, which is a bit different to a couple of our sites. There's a few bits of kit. We'll get its name now. It's almost like a lifting tire, but it's a static machine. Sorry, I forget the name, but yeah, which again, it's just when you walk and you go, oh, actually, I hadn't seen that before. I'd like to give that a try. Rather than just a bog standard gym, I think having a few things that kind of feel like they have a USP to them.
Yeah. So like a blade or it's a boxing ring was quite cool a few years ago. In fact, I think I went from Canons to 37 Degrees because they had a boxing ring and they had a golf simulator as well, which I was like, oh yeah, that's great. Yeah. But something like that, that I want to have a go on that. And then you might end up just using it a few times, so you might get really into it. But yeah. Okay.
And the other thing as well, I think, is, you know, you've got those, I mentioned those spaces, but I think having like unique studios as well, which you can also then mm-hmm. access and feel like you can go in and use those clearly when there's not a class going on.
Yeah.
I think is quite important as well.
Yeah. So there's zone. Some of those are zones. And back to your stretching, there's maybe a specific stretching zone or something from, I keep talking about getting Jeff Davis on. We should do. But again, not shouting out, but things like Five Concept and things like that to just go, look, here is an area where we all know we should be doing more of this. Let's get some small group X happening on those things.
And then the other thing.
So good, Jeff.
Sorry, I was going to say, and then the other thing as well is probably, feedback's not the right word, but TVs with, I mean, my zone belt, I've got an Apple Watch, having things where data is being recorded as well. I like seeing when I'm working at a certain level, I know I've got my phone, if that's up on a TV and I'm in a particular part of the gym, knowing that I can see what level of exertion I'm working at, and I also quite body composition scanners. So for me, those things, or Theragun. So I think having the techie bits as part of the offering as well, I think is pretty important.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. But body composition, we work together on the in-body stuff at One Life and getting those used more. But all that tech and data it should all be part of the service, really, right? At the perfect club. So collecting more data, motivating people. Do you need other people to see your MyZone readings as well when you're in a class? Is that as important, or is it just you need to see it yourself? Are you motivating other people with that?
Well, for me, to be honest, if I'm doing a particular workout, I want to know that I've spent a certain amount of time in the yellow or the red or the green or whatever it might be. So that was more for me. I think the workout I did this morning, it was my intention to spend at least 50% of the time in the yellow zone. If I'm regularly able to see that just on the TV while I'm working out, that's just useful for me to know what kind of zone I'm sticking to.
Yeah, perfect. So yeah, as well as those zones, there's and the music, and I'm guessing probably, if possible, and anything is possible in the stream gym, so that's good. But different music in each of those different zones for the right atmosphere. And then, yeah, tech where needed in those zones, or the ability to jump on a body comp scanner and understand a bit more about yourself. And then I'm guessing from the kind of things we worked on, is then back to the staff again, back to those brilliant, your great team to be able to help you interpret that data and coach you and get more from it.
Yeah, I don't know. Me personally, and this is probably going to be quite controversial.
Okay, great.
I totally see the benefit of team being on a gym floor, but I think they need to be attending to, I'll say, the right customers. So I think people genuinely need help, support. And I think the importance of those team being suitably qualified to be able to do that. I've wanted to use gyms before and then been denied access because I've needed an induction from a 21-year-old fitness instructor who's qualified last week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know when I'm training, I don't want people coming up and necessarily chatting to me. I want to just get on with the workout.
Sure.
But equally, I accept that there will be some people where there'll be huge benefit to that. So I definitely think trying to understand who all those customers are who need that expertise and help. And in the Stream Gym, I'm assuming we'd have the best of the best. Yeah, but I think they need to be well qualified and be able to help the right people do what they want to do.
Yeah,
I think sometimes it's absolutely a broad brush approach that our team must try and deal with everyone and manage everyone. So yeah, I think having the expertise to know who they need to deal with.
Fine. Yeah, it's the classic. Yeah, we need to talk to everyone, but actually there is a hierarchy. And if you were, so you personally, Mark, would rather be at the bottom of the list of people that need to be spoken to because you know what you're doing. And you're more interested in the team attending to the people who need it. It's talking to the right people at the right time. And we probably need to sort out Doris and Fred before we get to asking Mark if he wants to understand his visceral body fat, because he probably does already.
And also just accepting that I just might need you to talk to me. You know, for me, the cleanliness and things working and all those other things are a lot more important. I went to a more exclusive gym the other day, and actually coming back to that point about the welcome, the guy was really attentive, took all my details, offered to show me around, showed me where everything was, made sure I knew what was going on. That to me was much more important than somebody approaching me on the gym floor, and I was happy. Get a really nice coffee after my workout, get access to Wi-Fi. So those things to me were much more important. But I suppose that comes back to, again, in this ideal gym, you would want to understand who your customers are, what do they want. Understand, do they want supervision of the gym? Don't they want supervision? When I get my first newsletter or comms about the gym, what is that focusing on? Mm. Are those on the interest that I've highlighted to you? Or is it just a generic, here's your program? So I think it's making it more personalized. And I think that's really important, I think, in facilities, making it personalized to the user.
Yeah, and it's showing that you're listening to them and understanding what they want and or need, all the way from an email newsletter through to the actual interaction on the gym floor, which for you sounds like just a thumbs up, everything all right acknowledgement, rather than let me correct your exercise or rewrite your program for you because you know what you're doing.
I hope so.
Great and area, some tech, some data there. Is there anything, thinking particularly about what you've been doing at Sandwell, is there anything wet side? You mentioned a sauna and maybe an ice room, but would you need a pool in your dream club or any kind of other wet side facilities, or is that just too expensive at the moment?
Look, I think a pool is always great to have because you're going to have a proportion of people who clearly want to use that. Personally, again, I never swim unless I'm probably with my kids. In my dream gym, not necessarily. Yeah, the kind of sauna, steam room type areas would be more important. If I was designing it for somebody else, clearly I'd put a pool in. Definitely wouldn't have.
Yeah, but for your dream gym, for you, it's not needed. Yeah.
No, not me personally. No.
Okay, but you mentioned a nice coffee after your boutique visit recently. What else is needed on that kind of, on that service side or F&B?
Look, I think the usual, being able to get like a personalized smoothie protein drink, I think it's good. I think food, you'd want to have it relatively healthy. I think personally and professionally, there's nothing worse when you go into a leisure facility and then people can buy all sorts of rubbish. So I think, a good healthy meal with varying degrees of good or bad to that, but generally a healthy meal. But and a good coffee in that. And again, coming back to a nice space where you can sit down. Quite often I'll have a workout and then work for an hour or two if I've had a workout somewhere. Good space, nice atmosphere, a place that probably sounds silly, but somewhere you can actually plug your laptop in. Again, there's nothing worse when you want to have a work, you want to sit there, you want to drink a few coffees, but you need to leave because your laptop's running flat. So it's all those kind of smaller things. And again, in that kind of area, then again, not the opposite of the gym, then probably not music being too loud. Because if you are doing calls, work or whatever, you then don't want to have to worry about all sorts of background noise. Yeah, nice atmosphere, good lighting, not too loud, good coffee and something nice to eat.
Yeah, cool. Okay. And is there anything else we've missed for your dream club? Is there anything else you need completely off the out of the box?
Look, if it's, I suppose, my dream club, probably then bolting on some sporting type facilities. So whether that's I haven't played it yet, but I'm still trying to find a place somewhere, but paddle tennis courts, squash courts, tennis courts, I think something where if you wanted to have a break from the gym, you can access that easily enough. So yeah, those types of facilities I think are great to have. And when I've been members of gyms that have had squash courts, tennis courts, have made use of them. Equally, because I think it's nice from a social side. So yeah, ideally, if I could have some of those as well, that would be great.
Okay. And maybe, so it could be squash courts, or it could be paddle, it could be outdoor, indoor. I probably shouldn't mention this already, but yeah, we would like to do some kind of collective paddle event, just because we worry about golf being a bit exclusive, because it is. But we did do a great paddle event a few weeks ago with Neil Adepoyo from Risk HQ.
Dropped him a message.
First time I tried it, and it was as a social kind of fun gathering with a little bit of competitiveness in there, but ultimately running around for an hour and having a beer afterwards, can't beat.
To play tennis when I was younger and then played squash as well, so I guess my understanding is there's probably a bit of a mix of the two, but you can basically run around, not have to be a great tennis player or squash player, and you get a really good workout and it's pretty good fun. So those are the kinds of things, if I'm not in the gym, the kind of things that I'd want to do, to keep fit and healthy. And I suppose that what the gym doesn't always give you is that competitive side of sport, which is what I love and grew up doing.
So ideal gym. Okay. Some pitches or courts maybe, but paddle, I don't think anyone's really said, oh, I need to have a paddle court on there. So you're the first there to put that on. Let's see if we can make it happen, get some investment and get this dream gym built.
We're actually looking to put some paddle courts into one of our sites. So we'll see. Might take a bit of time. But we're in early conversations with somebody about that.
Okay. Excellent. Maybe 2025, 26, the collective paddle event could be nice and central.
One of our sites.
In Sandwell. First. Excellent. last standard question then. What would your dream gym be called? Have you got a name in mind for it, Mark?
I don't, unfortunately. I'm not particularly creative with names and that. So, no, I'm not going to try and make up a naff name. I'd need to take some time or probably get some creative marketing boffs into a room to help me come up with that. But no, I don't have a name. I don't have a name.
All right, no problem. Well, if anyone has a suggestion after listening to this, then drop some suggestions. And if you are a creative, then drop Mark a note with a name for his dream gym, please. Okay. A couple of quick fire questions then to finish off. Would there be any particular rules, or what would I have to do to get thrown out of your dream gym?
Behaving inappropriate, I think, is probably pretty standard.
Yeah.
And look, for me, I think it's just abiding by the usual kind of gym rules and etiquette. I don't think it needs to be overly policed. I think as long as people are behaving relatively sensibly, I don't think it needs to be too... I have a real pet hate for people throwing talcum powder all over the place. So that you definitely get banned.
There we go.
Yeah, I just think for me personally, I think there's nothing worse. You walk into a change room, you want to get changed, and then it's wet with talcum powder all over. So that one, I definitely throw you out straight away.
Fine. Okay. Excellent. That's what I'm looking for. It's that little pet. It's the usual rules, but then you go pet hate. Yeah, it would be towel.
And leaving locker
doors. Yeah, go on. Ah, yeah.
Yeah. And I think comes back from my days being a manager or working in sites. Just you walk in and you have half the doors just left open. Yeah, those two are probably my pet hates.
Fine. So leaving the locker door open, you're out. Or towel. They're petty things. But in Mark's gym, if you've done that, then game on. And one more. Who would be your dream guests? give me a couple of people, friends or famous, alive or dead, who would you want to do a workout with?
I suppose as a South African, you always have to default to Nelson Mandela. I think having him on the bench press,
talking
about his Robben Island days, I reckon would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So probably him first. I think David Beckham grew up as a kid admiring him. So I think having a workout with him would be pretty good fun. And then, last one, probably just, my son. So I'd have him first in just to have a bit of a workout with him.
Excellent. And so do you want to give him a shout out or are you keeping it private?
Oh, look, he wouldn't watch this anyway, but his name's Josh. So, I'll mention that I brought his name up. Yeah.
Okay, wicked. So Nelson, David and Josh and Mark working out in the gym together.
Yeah.
Spotting each other. And what a great workout that would be.
Yeah, a bit random, but that'd be good fun.
Yeah, it'd be great to compare, wouldn't it?
Yeah, just the stories, I think they'd be quite different. Yeah, no, it'd be good
fun. Yes, excellent. Nice one. Mark, listen, thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure having you on, as I knew it would be. Really good to hear about your dream gym. We will come up with a name at some point or next time we meet up at an event or for a coffee in that nice new cafe.
Yeah.
If people want to get in touch with you or connect, what's the best way to find you?
Probably LinkedIn, or equally happy for you to share my details here. Yeah, I think reasonably well enough connected, so I'm pretty sure somebody in the industry will know me and have my name and all of that. But happy for you to share details if needed.
Yeah, so find Mark on LinkedIn, or we will see each other, I'm sure, at Elevate or ActiveNet or all those other fitness industry events.
Definitely.
Yeah, thanks once again for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Noel, thank you very much for having me. Really enjoyed it. And have a good rest of the week.
Hey, it's Guy back again with some thank yous, collective news and details of our next guest. First of all, a big thanks for you to listening to this episode. We hope that you enjoyed it. And thanks as well to Mark Braithwaite for sharing his thoughts and giving us his time. Really great to hear about his dream gym. The Molton Brown soaps, I'm not sure if he's looking for some freebies there. But the look and the feel, the warm welcome from a great team, which I know all the clubs that Mark has been involved with that I visited, is certainly a big feature and adds to the great workouts there. And what great guests to do a workout with. Nelson Mandela and David Beckham and his son Josh would be super cool, I'm sure. Thank you as well to Les Mills. Don't forget, if you want to feel the happiest you can legally feel and take your fitness to the next level, then check out Les Mills' online and in-club workouts. A couple of favours, as always, please don't forget, if you want to help the collective, then do like and subscribe, share and review the podcast wherever you listen to it, to help us to help it grow. If you know anyone who'd like to get involved, either as a guest or as a supporter, please get in touch on the socials or email me guy@ggfit.com. Check out the other collective podcasts as well, please. The Business of PT with Adam Daniel and Health Seeker Stories. And if you want to actually get some face-to-face networking and some golf, then look out for the Collective Golf Day on the 24th of April at Royal Ascot Golf Club. All the details on the socials as usual. Next week on Your Dream Gym, it's the final episode of Series 8. So we're getting someone else from Les Mills back on. We started off with Carl McCartney. We're finishing with Charlton Clark. So really looking forward to chatting to Charlton next week. Look out for that in your stream if you subscribe. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you soon.